Good to see those here this morning. We got visitors. Very happy you come our way. And I was glad that I was able to walk around this morning and shake hands. Not so long ago, I was kind of feeling poorly, and I didn't want to give anyone any thanks. But feeling better today. Good to see Ashley and Warren. I made the trip. And safe and sound. And I know you're getting tired of not having Gary around. I am too. And hopefully Ernie will progress where he will be able to come back and be with us, bring us lessons, and conduct the Bible study. If not, somebody else is going to have to go to his house to take the study. Anyway, I'm going to look, reflect on some things that affect us all. I think they affect us all. And I'll just start out by saying, when I was a youngster, I listened to old folks talk about the ailments. I witnessed some of their problems. Hands that wouldn't work, eyes that couldn't see, teeth that were missing, and legs that would not move. And I'm talking about most of all my grandma and grandpa. I was with them a lot. Wayne came along about 9 years after me, and he also was around, and he probably seen things that I didn't see as time progressed. Anyway, a friend once told me, at age 40, your eyes will change. Another said, one of these days, you won't feel like playing ball anymore. And I thought about that guy. I said, well, you know, you don't exercise, and you don't think in the right direction, and that probably is not going to happen to me. It's not just happened to you. At work one day, I was surprised when I was taking a reading off of a gauge. There was a little bitty spot that had a gauge up in this hole. I had to stick my head in to read the gauge, and all of a sudden I couldn't read it. And I tried to move my head back, and I was hitting the wall. And I said, oh, that guy was right. I'm 40 years old, and I can't read the gauge anymore. How did he know that? And then I thought about my grandpa. I remember as a child, I would walk up with a toy and say, Grandpa, look at this. I would put it right there in his face, and he would go like that. I remember Grandma saying, would you help me thread my needles? Wayne was shaking his head. He probably did that too. And then I went to the eye doctor. I had to do something because I couldn't read gauges anymore at work. And I said, what's wrong with me? He said, well, you're over 40 now. So every day it happens at around 40 years of age. I told this to a lady that worked with me at the plant. And all of a sudden she turned 40 and said, you jinxed me. You jinxed me. And I feel like that you have probably heard folks and watched folks that are older have their troubles. Just like I did. But if you haven't, take note this morning. And I will tell you that Satan has a never-ending list of potential customers. The young are naive, those in the middle are busy, and the old are hurting. Looking over to Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, but a very powerful chapter. A lot of things can be found in it and talked about. But Jude is given a warning. A warning about false teachers. There's so much in Jude. If you would turn over to Jude, looking at verse 3, it says, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people, who pervert the grace of God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt afterwards, destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels. And you can get a discussion with people if you study with them. They believe these angels that they are mentioned in Jude 6 are heavenly angels. But it doesn't say heavenly angels. We know the word angel means messenger. And from the context already given, verse 4, certain people have crept in. And then it says ungodly people. And I believe this angels that are talked about in verse 6 are earthly messengers, people. But it says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept an eternal change under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities were likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, served as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people, also relying on their dreams to follow the flesh, reject authority and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Verse 10, but these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand distinctly. Woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain, and abandon themselves for the sake of gain and Balaam's error, and perish in Korah's rebellion. Jude is telling us and warning us, most people in that time, but it also applies to us. Like I said, there's very much to be looked at. The discussion of angels and spreading people out because they believe that angels are falling from heaven. There's no way that ever happens. But where I'm coming from with the lesson this morning is from verses 8 and 9. 9 being the main one. Verse 8 says, as we already read, yet in like manner these people also relying on their dreams to follow the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. And that's what it says in verse 9 that the archangel Michael did not want to do. He did not even want to blaspheme against the devil. But verse 9 says, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said the Lord was here. My question is, what about the body of Moses? Why was the devil talking about the body of Moses? He couldn't cause any more harm to it. He shouldn't have been concerned about the burial site. And surely Moses being dead was enough already. He already done his deed. What were they contending about? And again, like I did in class today, I don't know it all. And it doesn't say what they were contending about. But I'm going to take a shot and have you to think about it this morning. Looking at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. It reads, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he, God, buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. for no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was undimmed and his vigor unabated. In other words, Moses was not feeling the effects of old age. Even though at 120 he should be. The devil likes to work on old people. But he will also work on young people. The young are naive and can be talked into doing wrong. Things are new to the young, and they tend to experiment. While I tell you these things, you're probably saying or thinking about when you were young. How long about this, let me know. The young have dreams of doing what pleases them. They've been under mom and dad's roof for so long. They've been told what to do, what they can't do. Now they're on their own. They want to do their thing. That's the thoughts in their mind. They think their bodies are bulletproof. They think, I'm strong. I can get over or away with what I'm doing. And then they think, I've got plenty of time to make correction. Over in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, Solomon's writing these things. And I wrote in my Bible at the top of the page of Proverbs, Solomon is telling us how to act. Tell us how to act. The beginning of verse 10, my son, if simple men in high shoes do not give in to them, if they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths the lawless who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. So the writer of Proverbs is saying, don't let these experiments, don't let people trick you while you are young and fall into these things that go on around you. Also, there's those in the middle. Those in the middle most likely are married and have children. We have those in this room today. We have the young, we have those in the middle, we have the old. But those in the middle, work causes them trouble in making time to be with their family and to do the things they want to do. You know, those relaxing events that sometimes you get into that sometimes leaves Jesus and the Lord on the short end of the stick. Work hours that keep you away from services. I experienced that when I was in that middle class of people, of age-wise. I had a family. I worked shift work. And a lot of events on this. But when you got a chance to have an event, you're going to try to do it. I tried not to let those things get in the way of the Lord. But it's possible that it can happen. Our response to work, if it's something that we are going to be selfish about, and gives the devil the opportunity to work on us. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 17 through 23. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, 17 through 23. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me, all of it meaningless, and chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must lead them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruits of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labors under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxiety, anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. So yeah, working, those in the middle, taking care of their family, caring for them. It's a toll. And you're looking for some time to get some rest. And the old, where I started out at, talking about the old, what I've experienced and what I've seen. But they suffer pain, grief, and disappointment. And when the body starts to fail, that's about the time their assets start to fail. They're not working anymore. They're not bringing in the gain. If what they saved is not gaining or nothing, money, for the inflation that goes over them, they can't keep up. So it starts to pile on the old. And they can become discouraged as these things start to pile up on them. Their opportunities are fading away. Not too long ago, I found out about Samsung. That they're hiring security guards. I used to be one. And they were paying pretty good money. I told him, I said, I could go there and I could work. But I also think that it was taken away from me serving the Lord. I didn't get in that spot. I'm not going to do it. Even though I think I could, I'm not going to do it. Well, those opportunities really are fading away. And then there's one illness after the other. It just keeps on going. Is that right, Steve? You told me just a while ago that your daddy, her daddy's okay right now, but you see a steady decline in his health. Anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I've been keeping track of the years of what happened to me. And there was no big deal until I retired in 2016. And then in 2017, right after I retired, I had to get a stent put in. I almost had that one they call the rhythm maker. The one with that main vessel is blocked. And mine was 99%. To doctor's surprise. So then hand surgery in 2019, spine surgery in 2020, plus catching a COVID that came along, bleeding ulcer in 2021. And in 2023, my teeth are starting to fall out. And I got cancer. They say you got it all. But you see how these things start piling in? How you start keeping the years of things happening to you? It's discouraging. And then those old injuries that you have start to haunt you. I got a numb thumb that happened in 2019. I don't know why. It must be something in my neck. in my spine. The doctor did say, when he worked on my back, he said, you got a nerve in your neck. That's probably where this problem probably is. My right index finger, I cut it with a butcher knife when I was 18. I could not bend this finger like I need to. Arthritis is sitting in my hands. I was thinking it was because of the hard work I was doing, but I think it's arthritis. My left knee is starting to hurt. I had meniscus surgery in 2012 on it. My right ankle is bandaged from falling off the ladder in 2013. And I don't know what else is going to happen to me so I can mark the years in the future, but I'm sure something's coming down the ladder. What I'm saying is Satan will use these troubles to influence our spiritual condition. He will use it. Remember the story about Job, all the things that happened to him. Satan was working on him. He had his friends there giving him all kinds of trouble. He had his life giving him trouble. Trying to influence his spiritual welfare. Think about the young are influenced by their youthful desires and experiments. Think about those in the middle. Have a care for their children. Having to work, retire. It's good ground for them to get a foothold and make progress in your life. So just look around all of us here. We have those young, those in the middle, and those that are older. Satan is working on every one of us right now. In any way that he can. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, there is some encouragement. We read a while ago about the parent telling his son what not to get into. So he knows of that youth does not understand him. But he writes some good things too. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on your tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's good advice right there, God, folks. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make you your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vat will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, your son, he delights in. Oh, God will make it so good for you, young person, if you do what he asks you to do. Don't fall in with the bad. Don't experiment with those things that are not right. But in the middle, so busy making a living and raising a family. He talked about how toilsome it was, the labor, and it seemed all so meaningless. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 24, listen to this. It says it over and over in Ephesians. But in verse 24 of chapter 2, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own pull. This too I see is from the hand of God. And then down in verse 12 of chapter 3 to 13, it says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. So don't look at it as a toilsome thing when you're trying to take care of your family. Realize it's a gift from God that you're able to work, you're able to provide. Enjoy that food and that you eat. Be thankful for it. But don't resent. Don't resent that you're having to work and find time to have pleasure. It's a pleasure to be in the Lord. And then the older. You know, I didn't talk about them a while ago, about what they're struggling with. I told you about my ailments. But here's what the writer of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 12, verse 1. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in him. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return to their rain, after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors of the street are closed, and the sound of the grinding fades, when people rise up and the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the street, when the almond tree blooms and the grasshopper drags itself along, the desire no longer is stirred, then people go into their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Yeah, that's what the old have in that old age. But the good thing is, but also in Ecclesiastes, passage chapter 12, beginning in verse 13, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion to the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Conclusion of the matter is to do God's commandments. Keep them. That is the duty of man. Do that as long as you can. Because it is said in the verses 1, 2, 7, chapter 12, things are going to start going downhill. The only thing you have to ask yourself when you get old is, am I still able? Am I still able to meet with the saints? Or am I going to make an excuse that I don't feel good? We know you don't feel good. How much effort will you put forth? There's a remedy to all this. We need to put our nose in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and know the scriptures. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Old people should know God's word. They should be not tempted very much about what Satan might bring in their way as some kind of desire. We don't know what Satan brings in their people. He's bringing pain and he's bringing hurt. So are you going to let that overcome you? Are you going to keep going forward? Not giving up. Still being faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us to not neglect to meet together. It said, as a habit of some, but encouraging one another. That's what happens when we come together on the Lord's Day like we are. And this is a pretty good group this morning, but it had this sticky in the past. I've been seeing people, for whatever reason, young, middle, in the middle, or old, not coming. But we encourage one another when we come together. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You're not going to be around people that care about you if you're out in the world or if you're sitting at home. You need to be with your brothers and sisters. Over in Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. It says, to equip or perfect the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to be to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the wave and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head. And that's right. From whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part working properly, makes the body grow that it builds itself up in love. And that's what we are. Each one of us is a part of the body, Christ being the head, and we work better when we're all together. If the hand's at the house, the rest of the body don't work together. Same way with the feet. We work together. We come together for that encouragement. We're not doing that. We're letting excuses come in. Excuses of the young, I want to do my thing. Excuses of those that are working, I'm tired. Excuses of the old, I hurt. There's going to come a day that we're going to stop giving excuses. And in this lifetime, when you stop giving excuses, that means that you have stopped calling, and then you stop coming. If we find ourselves on the wrong side of the judgment, there won't be no time for any excuses anymore. It will all be done. The game is over. Eternal life has been lost. I was reading the scripture this morning. I will finish on this scripture in Titus chapter 3. It tells what all of us probably at one time have been. Paul can relate to this, but he's the one writing the letter. Titus 3, verses 3. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, who He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having a hope of eternal life. This is a trusty statement, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. That is our duty. That is our hope. Whether young or in the middle or old, don't give up. Don't make those sorry excuses. Do what God wants you to do. And as some would say, suck it up. He's stronger than that. Don't let Satan win. I don't know of any of the age that needs to obey the gospel at this time. Everybody in here that I'm looking at has obeyed the gospel. But remember, you can be a help to those that we've mentioned, the young, the middle, and the old. You can be a help. And by just being doing so, you are a leader. And both the leader and the one that he is encouraging will both be benefited by it, because you are part of the same body. Part of the same body. So look about you. You see somebody having a problem? Whatever group they're in, get encouraged or help them. They're having troubles. Come on, see why. So if you have not been that encouragement, if you have not been as following as closely to the Lord as you should have been, you've been making those excuses, and you want to make it known to us for the prayers of the brethren, time will be now, and we stand and sing this song.